Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Violent Rejection. Matthew 11, 11 and 12. Violent Rejection. Matthew 11, verse 11 reads, Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus is here talking about the privileged position that John had as the forerunner to Christ. In this life, there was no higher privilege. And yet all those who go into the kingdom will find themselves in an even greater position than that which John enjoyed during his earthly ministry. Luke 10, verses 23 and 24 says, Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which you see, and the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. Many prophets desired to see the Messiah, and did not. But John did. John had the high honor and esteemed privilege to intimately go before the Messiah and prepare the way for him, and then to announce him to the nation. Others had vaguely prophesied about the coming Christ, but John saw more clearly and more intimately than all of them. All the other prophets vaguely looked forward to this day, but John had the privilege to personally usher it in. And yet in the kingdom, all God's children will have an even greater access to Jesus than John ever knew. All the saints in the kingdom will see on a greater level than John ever did. Thus, even the least of the saints in the kingdom will be in a greater position than John was in his earthly ministry. See John 3:29. Ed Glasscock, quote, This was not intended to discredit John, for Jesus had been exalting him, but rather to signify how blessed and honored one is to be in the kingdom. End of quote. Note the kingdom was yet future, as John is regarded as not yet being in the kingdom at this point. This is important because some want to claim the kingdom is just a spiritual reality, when in fact, biblically, it is a physical reality in which Christ will physically reign in Jerusalem on David's throne. Matthew 11:12 continues, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is a difficult verse because it can legitimately be understood in two different ways, and both are theologically true, and so good commentators have differing views here, and this is not a place for strong dogmatism. The issue is how to understand the phrase suffers violence. In the Greek, the verb word translated here as suffers can legitimately be taken as either being in the middle or passive voice. And how you take it determines how you interpret what is being said. Middle is reflexive in the sense that something does it to itself, with the idea then of being the kingdom violently forces its own way. In contrast, passive is the idea of the action being forced upon it from the outside, with the sense then being the kingdom is being treated violently. This is from Robertson's Word Pictures in the New Testament. So then, in Matthew 11:12, the form can be either middle or passive, and either makes sense, though a different sense. So note this, middle voice nuance. The truth of the kingdom presses ahead relentlessly, forcefully advancing, and only the relentless, those determinedly committed, press their way into it. An argument for this view is the cross-reference in Luke 16:16, where the same verb translated as suffers in Matthew 11:12 is translated as pressing in Luke 16:16. In Luke, it clearly shows the conversion commitment of believers in spite of opposition. Luke 16:16 reads, The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. However, suffers in Matthew 11:12 can just as legitimately be taken in the passive sense. And if taken that way, here is the sense, the passive voice nuance. Quote, "The truth of the kingdom suffers violence from rebel religious leaders who are seeking to seize it." End of quote. A most compelling argument for this view is the cross-reference of Matthew 23:23, where Jesus says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Michael Vlock says in his book, He Will Reign Forever, this verse parallels Matthew 11:12 and 13, where the religious leaders were bringing violence to the kingdom program. Since they resisted the king, they were hindering the kingdom's coming and the ability of people to enter it. The rejection of Jesus by Israel's leaders, quote, effectually shut the door of the kingdom offering by God through his son upon the earth. End of quote. In light of the surrounding context, emphasizing persecution and what John was going through, this passive interpretation probably makes the most sense. But again, it can legitimately be understood either way. However, note a couple of things. In matters of interpretation, context is king. We noted in chapter 10, there are two great emphases. There is the matter of delegated power to the apostles to do kingdom sign miracles, but then there is also a strong emphasis on persecution that would accompany the ministry. Matthew 10, context, persecution. 10:16, sheep in the midst of wolves. 10:22, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body. 10:34, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. 10:36, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. This whole context of predicted persecution leads into the experience and question of John the Baptist in chapter 11. So the context is one of emphasizing expected persecution. In addition to this, the context right after dealing with John's imprisonment goes on to address this generation's rejection of both John and Jesus, as seen in 11:16 through 19. So right in the middle of this whole extended subject of persecution and rejection is Matthew 11:12, which in keeping with the greater context would seem also to relate to the violent opposition of people in response to the kingdom message. Jesus is saying this hostile rejection is to be expected. Matthew 11:12 says the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence from the days of John the Baptist, the beginning of his ministry, which at the time Jesus was speaking would have been about 18 months. It was John who burst on the scene and started preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 3:2. Then Jesus followed suit with the same message, also saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 4:17. This message was met with violent opposition by the religious leaders and those rejecting it. In addition to the contextual argument, the most natural rendering of the language, in this setting, translated as violence, followed up with the language of take by force, would seem to indicate that this is the action of those hostile to the kingdom message. Taking this as a violent response on the part of the unbeliever, which I tend to do for the reasons stated, the idea is that kingdom truth has been under attack since the time John began to preach it, as seen in opposition to John the Baptist and then to Christ, and then to the Christ he pointed to. The pattern is clear. Persecution is to be expected. Yes, the kingdom was being offered. Yes, there were kingdom signs being exhibited. But the kingdom was not here yet. And until it comes, those rejecting the message of Christ will respond violently to it. This is to be expected. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.